Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you for bringing us together in this place as one family to worship you, O Lord. Lord, as we look into this passage, Lord, we pray the Lord will speak to us, bless our hearts, and help us to grow in faith in trusting you deeper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we come to the end of the series on James, the living faith. And last week we saw Lenny preached on the last before passage, which is about the prayer of faith from verses 13 to verse 18. And today we're going to look at the last two verses, which is, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Amen. I know it's two verses. I remember last week Lenny was saying, Alex, we're going to get this shortest passage to preach next week, and I thank God for that. So when we look at this, you know, previously as Lenny was preaching, you know, what James is talking about there is about prayer, but also he's talking about the community of God who loves one another. Confess to each other your sins, and then you can pray for each other and God will heal those people who are sick. So when you confess to each other, your hearts are clear before each other. And there's nothing in your heart, and you come before the Lord with a clean heart, so God will listen to your prayer, because your heart in the community of God, when you have so many things going on in your heart, it's not easy for you to go to the Lord and pray. So you confess to one another, bring it out, lay it down, so that we can help each other. And when God comes in midst of those people, and he answers those prayers and heals those people. And then he goes on to talk about what this community is all about as he ends the passage, where how we should be looking after each other, how we should be caring for each other. As I was reading this passage, something came to my mind, but I remember when I was, I think, 8 or 9 years old, as a family, we all went out to a beach, which our city is crowded. Our city is like 9 million people. You get in a public transport, you can't find each other in the transport because it's so crowded. And as we're going back home, I slept off on the bus, and they all got down somewhere to change bus. And I got up and I found I was in the depot all alone. It's around 8 o'clock in the night. I got scared. I'm 8 or 9 years old. I was talking, and then I spoke to the driver, and he put me on another bus. And I said, this is the place I need to go. And he said, this is the bus you should go. And he spoke to the conductor, the ticket collector, and he helped me. And I went and reached that station. My family is waiting there with the police. You know, they went and complained. The police is there. And because you get lost, you're not going to be found again in a country like that. So when someone who you love, when they are lost, you're not going to continue to do what you're doing. Or you take your child to a mall. The mall is crowded, and your child, as you're shopping, your child is lost. You're going to just continue to shop? Ah, it's okay. They'll come back. No. Maybe in New Zealand. But when I take my children to India, I don't leave them alone. I hold their hands. Because you're worried what may happen to them. Will they be secure? Will they be safe? But when the child comes back, you're like, oh, thank God they're here. And your heart rejoices. And when you look at the family of God, as James is talking to his people, one of the very important things he talks about, my brothers. You know, Paul, with all of his 13 letters, all he used brothers is like around 8 times. But James in this 5 chapters, 5 brothers, 8 times. It shows like this is for the community of God. This is for the family of God. This is for you and me, the one who are saved, the one who love God. And he says, will your heart not stop when your brother is not there in the family? When they wander from the truth, when they wander from the gospel, will you continue to do your life, or will your heart start crying out for them? Will you go after them? See, most people don't walk away from God in one moment. The drift. It starts small. It may start as a seemingly small departure, nothing to be alarmed about. But one day you realize, and it takes your loved one's soul has been drifting away slowly. They travel further and further, and then they're far away. But when you look at James chapter 1, he talks about one of the very important things he talks about are perseverance. In tests and trials that God allows in your life, persevere in your faith. So that God will bring out something beautiful out of this. You will be perfect. And the end, you receive the crown of glory, the eternal life. But he also warns, on the other hand, in James chapter 1, verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. So desires, God gives you desire, but your desires become selfish. It's all about glorifying you and not honoring God. This turns into evil desires. When you keep feeding that evil desire and not repenting of your sin, it leads to death, which is eternal death in the end. So what do we do about this? And this passage says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his will, save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So there are three important things that we can learn from this passage. One is, there is a problem here. The problem is wandering from the truth. And there's a second one, which is the call to the believers, to the brothers and sisters, in the family of God. The call is, go and bring them back. And there's a third one, the result of it. The result of it is, there is life and forgiveness for those people. Because their souls are saved from death, and the multitude of sins are covered. That's the result. So we're going to look at these three, the problem, the call, and the result. So, when you look at this, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, so one of you, it's very clear, they are the family of God. They are people in the family of God. And you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back. So, wandering from the truth, what does it mean, wandering from the truth? It could be something to do with the teaching, the doctrinal belief that you have, or teaching and going wrong from it, just not believing it anymore, what the gospel teaches you, what the truth is all about. Or it could be a behavioral issue. So the behavioral issue is something that corresponds to the truth, that what you don't follow what the truth says. So either it could be a belief issue or could be a behavioral issue. So you, And Paul beautifully says that if in Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 14. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. So, they are not acting in line with the gospel. In line with the truth of the gospel. So your conduct, your behavior is not matching what you believe. So they are wandering into behaviors, you know, perhaps they are starting to be dishonest. Or they're starting to act in a very proud way. We can see in James, he keeps talking to them about, you know, when people oppress you, don't try to take things on your own hands, but trust in the Lord. When as a businessman, don't say that I can go one day here, one day there, but trust in the Lord and submit to the will of God. Don't try to do things on your own by thinking, you know, I can do it, but trusting in the Lord. Because coming to the truth is what the truth says, what the gospel says, what God says in the scripture. But not acting on your own or falling away from the truth. And he says, when the person is wandering from the truth, go and bring that person back. So the call to the people, the saints, the family of God is, you don't just watch, just like the story as I was sharing about, you just don't wait and continue to do what you want to do, but your heart should be thinking about them. You should be looking out for them. You should be praying for those people. Because James talks about faith is very clear. You're saved by grace of the Lord. You're saved through faith in God. But your faith should be showing evidences of that. You're saved by faith, but your faith is never alone. You should show evidences. How you live out your faith is so important that you align with the truth or not. So he goes back to telling brothers, go after your brothers, restore them. In book of Luke chapter 15, when we read, it's a beautiful passage about the father's heart. It talks about when the lost sheep, out of 100 sheep, one goes away and the shepherd goes after it. And in that parable, something very important. The one wanders away, and the Lord goes after the wandering sheep. The one is somewhere in the wilderness, bleating. It's going to die in that place. But the shepherd goes after that wandering sheep. See, he is the great shepherd, he is the good shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. And he came after us when we were wandering away. And he restored us into the way of truth. Because of that, you and I are here worshiping the Lord. And we know who we are before we come to know the Lord. Amen? And still we know how we struggle. Because he restored us, we reflect the good shepherd who restored us. So that we go after people because he came after us. I follow what my father has done. So you don't do it out of your own strength. Because I know it's not easy. Alex, are you telling me we have to do it? Because my father has done that. Because our father has come after us. If our father hasn't come after us, if our father hasn't saved us, what our lives would be? I'm very sure my life will not be good. It'll be dead by now. But because he came after me, as I was bleating and crying in that wilderness, he came after me into that wilderness. Because wilderness is not a place as a smooth path. It's a horrible place. Israel, the wilderness is not a very nice place. You have all these wild animals there. Everything is going to take your life there. And the weather and then the place, it's not going to be easy. But he came after us and he took the sheep and put it on his shoulder and he brought it back home. Amen. And that's our good shepherd. And when I trust in him, when I receive him as a Lord and Savior, I reflect the heart of my Father. I reflect the heart of my Father and I live out in faith. Amen? And the third one is, as you bring these people back, so what are you saving them for? What are the things at stake here? The result is this. Remember this. Let him know. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his will, save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Wow. You turn a sinner from the error of his way, you save him from death. Because sin, unrepented sin, is going to lead to death, lead to eternal death. And you save this person from death. You save his soul from death. And you cover over a multitude of sins. And God used you as a means, as an instrument in his hands to save souls. Isn't that amazing? What a privilege it is. I'm not going to get, by doing this, I'm not going to secure a permanent place in heaven. That's not my goal. My goal is reflecting my Father's heart, living out what he has taught me. And coming back, that's one of the biggest challenges here is, how can I save someone? But isn't that when you're saved, you're always saved, sort of idea comes in here? But we need to see, the question that comes here is your eternal security. Am I not eternally secure? When I'm saved, when I receive God's, when I'm saved by grace, by faith, which is his work, am I not saved from eternally? Am I not secured eternally? And I was listening, as I was reading, this is something very important for us to understand. Can you lose your salvation? It's something many people ask this question. So I'm going to borrow some teaching from John Piper, who puts a beautiful 5 statements for us to understand this. The first one is this. Let me get it there. Okay. See, the 5 statements he gives us for us to understand about this. The first one is this. We are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from any works. When you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, it's very clear. Paul says to the Ephesian church, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast about it. So you hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law, which Romans chapter 3, 28 talks about. See, you are saved not by your works. It's not that because I've done this, and I'm saved. No. It's purely by the work of the Lord. See, when I'm dead, I don't know how can I save myself. Someone has to come and rescue me, and have given life to me for me to come back to life. And I'm dead. And that happens because of the gift of the Lord by His grace and by faith that He has put inside my life. By the Spirit of the Lord who regenerates my heart, gives me faith to trust in Him. And I'm saved because of that and not by my works. And he goes on to say the second statement, those who are justified. So when you're saved, you're justified before the Lord. You're made righteous before God so that you can have a clear standing before the Lord. So you being saved is called you being justified. You being justified is you being righteous before the Lord. And he says, those who are justified will certainly be glorified. What that means is, that is, they will be finally saved. Nobody will fail to be glorified who is justified. If God has made you righteous, you will be glorified in the end. So those who God, you know, in Romans chapter 8:30 says, those who God predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. See, it is as good as it is done. Nobody drops out between justification and glorification. If you are saved, God will bring you to the end. It's very clear in this verse, you know, Romans chapter 8:30. And glorification is the final state of salvation, the age to come when the Lord returns. And so security is implied, it's for sure. Perseverance is also important here. Because the third statement that John Piper beautifully says is, no one will be glorified who does not continue in the faith. And this is what a lot of people simply can't put together and they struggle with it. I cannot say, you know, I'm saved and I can go and continue to do whatever I want to do. You have to walk in line with the truth. Walk in step with the truth. Not continue to do what you want to do, not in a sinful way, but you repent, you come back and walk in the truth. So he says that they think if we are secure, then even if we don't continue in the faith, that we'll be secure in the Lord. No. And that's not what Bible teaches. Bible does not teach that you must continue in the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 2 says, I would remind you, brothers of the gospel, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Your belief is in vain if you do not hold fast to the truth. If you throw away the word of truth and depart from it and never return to it, you will not be saved. Colossians chapter 1 verse 21 to 23 says, you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith. So perseverance in the faith is essential in the Christian life. Finally saved and proving that you were justified by grace alone, through faith alone. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, this is something very important. The one who endures to the end will be saved. So perseverance in faith to the end is essential for Christian life, and no one will be glorified or finally saved who does not continue in faith to the end. So that's perseverance of saints. How you persevere as God's people. But don't lose hope there, because the scripture says, in the fourth statement of what John Piper says, God himself will keep his children from finally falling away. In other words, this act of being saved finally is a dynamic process of God's ongoing keeping. It's a spirit that oozes in us, is continue to help us and sanctifies us. If you ask me how, I don't know. Did I just wake up one day and become a Christian? No. I brought up in a Christian family. My parents were pastors. But during my university time is where I come to know the Lord. It's not just because I'm born in a Christian family. It's not just I woke up one day and became a Christian. I would say because of Christ, because He came after me, because He first loved me, is God committed Himself to me. Amen? In Philippians chapter 1, 6, Paul says, I'm sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, which is when He returns, He will bring it to completion. So you don't need to worry about how am I going to do this on my own strength. No, He's not telling you're going to do it on your own strength. The Lord who lives inside you will help you when you abide in Him. He will bring it to completion. He will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, it says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We may not be faithful, but He is faithful. We may fall away, we may struggle, but He will continue to come after us. It's not that before you were saved, He came and, you know, received you, and He came and, you know, saved you, and after that it's your job. No. He continues to carry you. He continues to look out for you. He continues to help you and bring you to completion. So that gives us hope that you don't need to be worried you're by yourself. But the Lord who is in you will help you. Amen? Isn't that such an assurance for us? He will sustain you till the end, and God is faithful. That's what His faithfulness implies for all of His children. He will help you from falling away. And the final one is this, the final statement He says, God keeps His children, this is important. How He does that? Through the Holy Spirit. But God keeps His children by means of His children. So how God does that in the world is by through His brothers and sisters in the community of God. So God uses people to restore people. Amen? Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 to 14 says, exhort one another. Exhort means strongly encourage or persuade one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitful of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, because we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Amen? So why should we be involved in encouraging one another? Because God wants to use you as an instrument in the Redeemer's hand to bless others. Isn't that amazing? He wants to use, He can use anything of this creation. Do you think the whales in the sea won't obey Him? Do you think the birds of the sky won't obey Him? He says, if you don't worship, the rocks will scream. But yet, He loves you. Yet He wants you to go after His brothers and sisters because He loves you. You know, as I was sitting there, something came to my mind. My daughter was 5 years old, Renee. She just wrote, Lana is fat, Alex is fat. I was like, what? And my wife said, no. She just learned the word fat and she's putting sentences together.
You understand that?
She's learning to write. She's learning to put sentences together. As a father, I understand she's not trying to insult me. She's learning. And she will fail. That's how our God sees us. Amen? Our God sees not just your behavior, but He sees your heart. And He is a Father who loves you unconditionally. Amen? But the beautiful thing is, He wants to use you as a means of grace to bless your brothers and your sisters who are struggling in faith, wandering from the truth. And God's command through James in this passage is, go after them, bring them back. Sometimes it's not easy, Alex. I don't know how to do that. I know it's hard. But one of the things which has been very helpful for me in the book of Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, Satan wants to sift you all, but Peter, I prayed for you. So when you are strengthened, go and strengthen your brothers. Isn't that amazing? Jesus prayed for Peter. So when you don't know what to do, the one thing we can do, the previous passage says, pray for your brothers. A lot of some other people in our congregation, you know, Rob and Mike and Christian and a few others who I talk to, they have a list of people they pray each day. The first thing, I think Mike or Rob, someone, when I first met them 3 years ago during the church merger, what's your children's name? What's your family name? Like, why is he asking? And he took a note and he started to write. I was like, wondering, maybe is it my name is too hard to pronounce? No, he wants to remember my name, my family's name, so he can pray for me. Amen? Isn't that amazing? What he's saying there is, I love you. I love you. And that's what God wants from us. See, by doing this, you're not going to win something, a permanent place in heaven. That's not the goal, because some people think that way. No, you do it because your heart is transformed by God's love, and the evidence of it, you go after His people. How do you love God? The one who loves you? By loving the people who is around you. Amen? And that's what this passage is all about. You might be thinking, why James is, you know, finishing his letter so clumsy. You know, Paul does it in a beautiful way, a doxology, thanking people, so beautifully he finishes it. Why James is finishing in bits and pieces in a very clumsy way? No, the whole purpose of his letter is to persevere and brothers look after each other. And what he's saying here is, the mission is as a community project. It is not a one person's project, it's a community project. I'll finish with this one last example, illustration. I don't know whether it's appropriate or not. Many years ago, I'm a huge Iron Man fan. When I was studying in England, that's where the first Iron Man movie came. Robert Downey Jr. became one of the famous actors after that. And he, when he won an award, an American award, I don't know what's the name of it, he invited Mel Gibson to the stage, Robert Downey Jr. And he said, you know, when I was struggling in my life with you know, he was arrested for drink driving and, you know, having drugs and, you know, so many things. And he's been very rude. The judges put him in the prison. His life was so hard. He's not getting any job. Mel Gibson is the one who came and told him, you need to take responsibility, which what he says is that you had to hug the cactus. It's not going to be easy, but you had to hug the cactus. You had to take responsibility in your life. And by doing that, you learn to embrace faith, to forgive people. And he said, he helped him to put roof on top of his head and food on his table. And the story that has been developed for Mel Gibson was very as a big lead actor at the time, he gave those roles to Robert Downey Jr. He helped his brother. And he said, what am I going to do? He said, you do it to the next person. And the funny thing at the end, he says, I didn't expect that would be Mel Gibson himself. He said that Mel Gibson helped me one day, but I didn't expect today I'll be helping Mel Gibson, because he was struggling with alcohol addiction and people are not willing to take him because of his struggles. And he says, he's the one who's the director of Passion of Christ and all that. But this man is struggling with his life. And he says, we are not perfect people in the film fraternity, but will we come and help this man and forgive him? A man who does not know the Lord says this. It reminded me how much more we should be caring for our brothers and sisters. Today I may be strong. Tomorrow I don't know what my life would be. I might be slipping. But my Lord will hold me. But what I'm saying, in the community of God, we hold each other. We lift each other. We bless each other. We bring them back in the way of truth, so that their lives, their souls will be saved in the day of judgment. And the multitude of sins are covered only under the truth and not outside the truth. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love for us on the cross, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. When we were wandering, Lord, you left your throne and you came after us, O Lord. And you redeemed us, bought us with a heavy price, through the blood and life of Jesus Christ, your Son, for our sake, in exchange of our life, O Lord. How precious is the gift. Lord, we have many of us in our midst. All of us are struggling in one or other ways, O Father. Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit who works in us, will you help us? Will you strengthen us? But will you also help us as children to understand the love of God, so that we will look after each other, O Father. Help one another, lift each other, encourage one another. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Bless us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could we all stand to our feet?